you know, just getting busy with life. Life is busy. And if you're not conscious about how important or how much you do value your health, it is one of those things that can get pushed and pushed and pushed.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Do you value your health? As we get older, we're concerned about our profession, getting ready for retirement. Do we have enough money? But where do we place and value our health as we're getting ready to retire? My guest today is suggesting that we push and push it back to last place. But when you think about it, without our health, we're not going to have a happy retirement, are we? Hi, I'm Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. And on the show today, we have Kamli Singh. And Kamli is a holistic body coach, and he works at Body and Soul, which is Sydney-based here in Australia. The episode is broken up into two parts, and this week we're hearing part one of what Kamli has to say.
Cam is a holistic life coach with Body by Soul, and he is based in Sydney, Australia, and he's going to be talking to us today about the link between health, fitness, and longevity.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you for having me. I'm very, very excited to be talking with you again.
So you're a picture of health and you're a lot younger than me, but it's something that some of us don't spend much time thinking about until we get older. But it seems as though we need to focus on this at any age, but especially when we get older.
Yeah, I agree, Anne. Our health is something that we tend not to prioritize. I think a lot of people value their health, right? So if you gave most people a pen and paper and said, write down the most important values to yourself, I'm sure for most people we'd have write things down like about family and relationships, about their own health, about, you know, profession and financial security. I think we all have a value for health, but I think where we tend to drop the ball is probably how we prioritize that health or the values to our health. And that's when we get stuck working long hours, or not obviously working if you're retired, but, you know, just getting busy with life. Life is busy. And if you're not conscious about how important or how much you do value your health, it is one of those things that can get pushed and pushed and pushed.
All right. So you're saying that our aging is relative to our health, so we can be older but feel a lot younger.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that, that I feel even for myself, look, I'm only turning 33 years old, right? So, but I have noticed a difference from when I was 20 years old compared to when I'm 32. And, you know, when I was a lot younger, I lived probably a more toxic lifestyle. I was in the corporate industry, you know, working really long hours and under a lot of financial stress, being young, wanting to achieve, you know, often not thinking about what I'm eating or just getting in food whenever I could, and, you know, socially drinking probably a lot more than I should. And talking about the relativity with your health and your ages, as I'm older now, because I'm more committed and more aware, I should say, to what I eat and those habits in particular, I actually feel better, you know. So I feel like for me, my own personal story, I've reversed the aging clock a little bit, or the aging effects.
And you are a holistic life coach. How does a holistic life coach differ from other sorts of coaches?
It's a good question, Anne. What is a holistic? A lot of people are thrown around that term now. So in essence, when we get sick, we are dealing with a disease, maybe we put on weight or we get stressed, usually it's not one particular thing that causes that. For instance, it's not just because you don't exercise that you put on weight, or it's not just because you might be going through financial stress that you feel emotionally stressed. Usually whenever we're going through weight gain or weight loss, excessive weight loss, or any type of pain or disease, it's from a collection of lifestyle factors, right? So when we go to help someone remove their pain or overcome their disease, we look at the whole lifestyle of the person as opposed to just one particular area, i.e. just food or just movement or just stress levels.
So it's important to have a different view on our life and have some daily habits. I suppose that's the thing that's hard to change those daily habits, because it's not just something that you do for a little while, is it? It's something that you need to adopt for the long term.
Yes, definitely. And I'll use the analogy of, you know, even when we do get sick or our immune system does drop, it's not just a combination of, okay, I've gone out in the cold weather today and now I've got a cold. Your immune system has to drop in the first place, or things have to have an effect on it and stress the immune system out for us to get these cold sicknesses, whatever it is that's going on. But the same thing happens when we want to feel better. It's a combination of the little choices, the little habits that we do on a daily basis of, you know, making sure we're eating good quality food, making sure we're drinking enough water, making sure that, you know, the thoughts we have, we are in a place of looking more on a positive side of things, as opposed to feeling like sometimes the world is against us or age is against us. And it's not, all of those habits don't happen overnight. It's got to stem from first having that value of wanting to feel better. So we all want to feel better, whether you're young, whether you're maturing, whether, you know, you're middle-aged. We're doing in our life, we're constantly looking at ways to make ourselves feel better. And when you start to, I kind of go through principles of your health, whether you're young, middle-aged or maturing, we all have the same principles of we need to have good quality water intake. We need to have good quality food intake. We need to be getting good quality oxygen intake through our body, through some deep breathing or through some exercise and movement. You know, so these are all principles. And if you're aware on the principles, rather than feel like you have to change your whole lifestyle or start doing all these drastic things in order to improve your lifestyle or become healthier, you can just understand them and inch at them day by day, you know, and it's the small steps that can have a great return on your health.
Right. Okay. So would you like to have a look at your principles in detail then? How many principles do you have that we should have a look at and see if we can improve our chances of a longer life?
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's so simple. I think that in this day and age, there's a lot of confusion about, you know, or there's so many secrets about how to live a healthier lifestyle. And often the first thing, that's what I'm being constantly asked is, Cam, what's the best exercise? What's the best superfoods as I'm aging? Or, you know, and the number one thing that I do is reflect on what are the biggest stresses in the body. So rather than try to look for the best superfood, maybe let's cut out some of the foods that we know are definitely not as good for us. So one of the principles is we want to make sure that we're eating good quality food, okay? As we're aging, or who we are, even from, you know, when we're first in that stage of utero inside our mother's womb, and all our cells, we are all a result of the food and proteins that our mother eats, and that's who we become, right? We are constantly a result of the chemical reactions from the food that we eat. So we can't think that we want strong bones and, you know, strength within our muscles as we're aging if we're not eating food that represents health and vitality. Does that make sense? We can't eat something that has no nutrients and expect that when it goes into our body, we're going to magically create health from it. All right. So the first principle is, yeah, it's pretty simple in a sense of you are what you eat. You know, your body and the strength of your body is going to be a result of what you put into it. If you're eating good whole foods and vegetables mainly, and good quality proteins with good quality fats, our body is going to react in a very positive way. If we're eating, you know, lots of processed foods or canned foods and not fresh foods, there's not a lot of nutritional value in that. So our body can't really build any strength from that, can it?
Right. Yep. So what are the things we shouldn't be eating?
Look, that's a tough one, because the first rule, rather than just say you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that and be like this drill sergeant, life is there to be lived. Life is there to enjoy, right? And part of that is food. Food is a beautiful thing that we need to celebrate, right? But can it also be an addiction and a thing, something that actually takes us further away from living a better quality life? So my first kind of principle when it comes to nutrition itself is figure out your happiness ratio, right? We all know that too many sugars aren't good for our system. So in teas and coffees and biscuits, cakes, we all know that too much of bread, our body, too many wheat products, our body's actually, it's proven no one actually can process gluten the way that we thought we could. There's lots of research studied onto the effects of gluten and the gut. So, you know, these are all things that inflame our body and inflame our digestive system. So the sugars, the wheat products with gluten in it, sometimes also a lot of dairy. So this might be a little bit controversial, because a lot of people would feel that, you know, I need to be drinking lots of dairy in order to maintain strong and healthy bones. The truth of the matter is the dairy that our grandparents drank compared to the dairy that we're drinking is very different. The dairy back then had a lot of full cream, and the cows were a lot healthier. There was a lot less processing with the milk. So we were getting a lot more nutrients. It was in its more raw organic form, whereas the milk these days is all pasteurized and homogenized. So we're drinking the calories, but we're not really getting the nutritional value, you know, of the milk, which is very, you know. So one of three main things I'd be looking for is to avoid would be processed sugars, wheat, and dairy. And those are all things that inflame the body. They inflame the gut. They put stress on our joints. Now, again, what does that leave you with, right? So I'm a true believer in let's try to eat as much whole foods in terms of fruits and vegetables and proteins. There's a lot that we can do with that. Eggs and omelets, high in good quality fats, and, you know, vegetables, you know, for dinners, roasts with veggies. For lunches, you can have salads with proteins. So I'm all for good quality proteins. And those good quality proteins are going to have really important fats in it as well, which is going to be great for our hormonal systems. There's going to be a lot of calcium, selenium, a lot of nutrients within the fat and the protein of the meat. And having it with good quality vegetables as well, our body's getting lots of water-soluble vitamins, and it's also getting a lot of fiber. So for me, that's the perfect combination. My favorite food, my absolute favorite food, which is a miracle healer. I guarantee if some of you, this is something we could maybe put towards the listeners, and is a good old-fashioned broth, something that our mums used to make, our grandmothers used to make, you know, back in the day when there wasn't as much food and meat was expensive. We had to use every part of the animal to get as much use out of it and make that food last for as long as possible. Now, the thing with when you're getting some really good organic lamb shanks or bones or like a chicken carcass, and you're making a nice broth with that, with some turmeric, which is anti-inflammatory, some ginger, some garlic, which is antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. It's not only is it tasty, but it's medicinal. It reduces inflammation. All of those herbs as well are very good for reducing inflammation in the gut. So it'll help with things like even weight loss and bloating. If you are on any medications, it will help you. A lot of the times, a lot of pharmaceutical medications, they might solve the issue of whatever they're trying to. They might mask the issue of whatever pain that we're in, but it also takes a massive toll on our gut health, having to heal that. So remember, I keep harping on about the gut health, but who we are is a result of the chemicals that we expose our gut to, right? Mm-hmm. If you had to eat a piece of plastic, you would curl up in the fetal position and feel very sick, right? That is a drastic indication of how important what we put into our stomach is, how important our digestion is. The thing with things like gluten and dairy, because we're so exposed to it for so long, and sugar, it's inflaming our gut. It's making us feel bloated, but it's very subtle, so we don't know that we are in pain. But when I get some of my clients to do a bit of an anti-inflammatory, anti-pain cleanse, where they are reducing some of those items and they're having more of the broth and stuff like that, when their body starts to feel so much less bloated, they feel lighter, they've got more energy, the aches and pains in their knees, shoulders, lower back, neck pain, that starts to go, right? Then all of a sudden, you start to realize how easy it is to maintain a better quality of life. And I'm not saying eliminate those foods out of your lifestyle. As I said, life is there to be lived and food is there to be enjoyed and embraced. But at what cost? You know, if you're eating foods that are making your joints hurt, making your knees sore, if you're unaware of it, what's more important to you? Because we're walking a lot more than we need to eat, right? So the things like feeling good and moving, not in pain, that's priceless when it comes to feeling better and getting more out of our lifestyle. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes, I do. So that brings us to your next principle about moving your body.
Yeah, so it does. And look, our bodies were designed to move. You know, it's designed to walk. It's designed to lift, to bend, to twist, to put things up, to carry our grandchildren, to put them down, to, you know, if we're in danger, if we need to run, you know, from one spot to another spot, or we're in a rush. What saddens me, or concerns me, should I say, is we've become trapped within the limitations of our body's capabilities. So when I have a very different approach to, even though I started my career as a personal trainer, I believe what personal training should be and what it is learning to trust your body and learning to get more out of the life that you want to live and your body allowing you to do it. Right. So if you want to go on holidays, being able to walk and go on holidays pain-free, if you need to sit on the plane or in a car, if you need to, you know, experience and have fun with your grandchildren, you want a body that can allow you to enjoy those experiences, not a body that hinders those experiences of your life. So when it does come to movement, I think the important thing is just understanding that there are things that happen with old age that we can't avoid, but there's also, if you work with the right person, and I can maybe work with you to help people find the right practitioners that are studied as Czech practitioners, where we have a lot of chiropractic and physiotherapy and osteopathy ways of assessing our clients and teaching them to move and get out of pain and get more function in their body. If you can find someone like that, you're getting parts of your body back that you never thought you would, or movements that you could do and not be in pain. Again, that's how priceless is that as we're getting close to retirement or maturing?
Is there some simple things that you can recommend?
Just definitely start. Movement is important. Figure out what you do, what you can do that doesn't bring you pain, right? So, for instance, if that's been in the pool, if that's just walking, figure out what you can do. I've worked with so many mature people that they've been so used to being in pain and they're so used to looking at what they can't do that they're constantly hitting roadblocks and then they just give up. And the main advice I'd say is focus on what you can do and focus, even if you can only walk 10 minutes before you start getting in pain, then stick to 5 minutes and have a break. Whatever it is, you focus on what your body capabilities are, not what you're incapable of, right? And then you're going to start to look for, you're going to take responsibility and realize that, hey, there's ways around my limitations or I can get more out of my lifestyle.
Thanks very much, Kamli Singh. I look forward to the continuing story on what Kamli thinks we can do to improve our health. Until next time.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.